We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in one more time to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM right here in Cocoa, Florida. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And if you're following your GPS or your GPS system on your phone, it might tell you to take a loop-to-loop way a little bit because they've closed some of the turn lanes. If you are going east on 520, you have to turn on Tropical Trail before you get to Grove Street because they have closed off that turn lane there. Because there were a lot of accidents. Man, I've been there for 25 years. I have seen so many accidents right there at the corner of Grove and 520. So if you are able to come out and visit with us, we would love to have you be a part of one of our services and see if God doesn't have a place for you to serve in Brevard County. You know, when my wife and I came to Brevard County, we didn't come because of a church position. I came because of... I was a manager with a chain of shoe stores, and they brought me to Florida. And when we prayed, we said, God, we're going to need you to open up a door of ministry. And we didn't just look for a church. We weren't looking for the biggest church. We weren't looking for the most famous church. In fact, the church we ended up at, our first inclination was, God, you can't. You're not going to bring us here because they had so many pastors in the pipe stream there that we didn't figure that there was a place for us to serve. What we didn't know is they were getting ready to plant a church, and a number of those ministers were going to be going to the new ministry. And so within 4 months, within 30 days, God had a position for me there to volunteer. Within 4 months, I was actively involved in ministry, working with young people and things like that. And so, if you have not found a place to serve, maybe there's a place that God could have for you. My ministry philosophy is this: God, Merritt Assembly of God will do anything and everything that you ask us to do, but we're going to need you to provide the laborers for it. We're going to need you to provide the funds for us. And so that's where we are. We at one time had other ministries that we did. We had a bus ministry when we had a van, and we had people that worked alongside us in that. And then when the van deteriorated to such an extent that when it rained, there was more water coming inside than was going outside. It was time to get rid of that. And so one of these days we'll have that ministry going again. We've done sidewalk Sunday schools in the community. We figure we'll have that ministry one day again. It just depends on when God provides the laborers and the resources. We have no problem starting ministries and have no problem shifting ministries if that's the time frame. I do want to say thank you today to the fine folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538. Last week I saw their vehicles out and about in Merritt Island a couple of different times. And so if you are in central Brevard County, or for that matter any part here in the county, they go from north to south, east to west. They cover the whole county with a full array of air conditioning, electrical, and heating solutions for your home or business. And so if you can be blessed by their services. Here's their phone number, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. One more time, 321-632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. I don't know if I mentioned this on yesterday's program or not, but when Paul was talking with Felix about righteousness and, well, faith and righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, it says that Felix was afraid. And that word literally meant he was shaking with fear to the point that, you know, he said, we got to cut this conversation off. And the reality is, I believe that as Paul was having that discussion with him on self-control, that it was hitting pretty close to home. I don't think that Paul had the same message to the same audience or to every audience that he preached. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us the words that are necessary to minister to a person who the Holy Spirit is working on. And the truth of the matter is, God doesn't want anybody to perish. It doesn't matter if they're in a position of political authority, if they're famous or if they're a celebrity, if they're dirt poor, if they don't have, as Evie Hill used to say, two food stamps to rub together. God wants them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. The Assemblies of God has partnered with a ministry. It's called The, get this, because there's a similar ministry with there's a similar program with a similar name, but it's an entirely different focus. Okay. And so it's called The Human Right. And The Human Right is that we believe that every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth has the right to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them in a manner in which they will understand, so that they have the opportunity to give their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're about at Merit Assembly of God. We want to partner with people to make sure that everybody in our community and as far as our influence will reach has the opportunity to accept Jesus as the Lord of their life. So when Paul was talking with Felix, it caused Felix to shake with fear. I was having a conversation with a person on Facebook. This is many, many years ago. It was a person that I'd went to school with, and something radically had happened in his life to where his present situation was nothing like the person that I knew in high school. And they had taken this history quiz. It was to, how much do you know about other religions? And he had missed one question on there. He didn't know anything about Jonathan Edwards. And I commented on his. I missed one question. It wasn't about Christianity. It was a different question. So I told him who Jonathan Edwards was, and a friend of his piped in and said, yeah, I teach in a community college, and we make fun of Jonathan Edwards' sermons. Now, Jonathan Edwards was the instrument that God used, one of the instruments, to bring about America's first great awakening. That's a historical title that is given to it, where the morality and the conditions of America were so bad that God brought a great spiritual awakening to our country. And it came to a large extent through the ministry of Jonathan Edwards, who had a sermon titled Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And talked about how perilous the condition of unregenerate man is in relation to eternity. We're one breath away. This last week I had the two people that I know from the community, not as being a pastor, but through the community. I was there when one of the individuals received news that rocked them and that they needed healing in their body. And a little bit later in the day, unbeknownst to me, another one of them had a health crisis, and so I was, I've got two people that I'm praying for that, you know, things were going well, and then all of a sudden they weren't. And so Jonathan Edwards preached this sermon, and it touched a nerve, much like Paul did for Felix. And I commented to, or I may have wanted to comment. I don't like to get into Facebook arguments, but this snot-nosed community college professor, I wanted to write him back and say, yes, I'm sure that Jonathan Edwards, who was the president of a college, who read and studied and prayed 16 hours a day, who fasted and prayed to such an extent that when he came out of his study and went to the pulpit, and as he read word for word from the manuscript, the sermon that God had given to him, and had such an anointing upon his life that as people were sitting in the congregation and they would be crying out for him to please stop preaching, so he would give the altar call so that they would give their heart to Jesus, that as they were hearing the word, that the convicting power of God was so intense that they were literally digging their fingernails into the oak pews that were there, that I'm sure that this person would be thoroughly intimidated by this mental midget that was commenting on, and yes, I did just say that person. I just did say that on live radio. You see, we're not supposed to be full of ourselves. We're not supposed to be thinking that, man, we're just the cat's meow. We're God's gift to intellectualism or anything like that. I'm not the smartest guy around. I'm not the dumbest guy around either. My wife and kids, they're amazed at the trivial knowledge that comes out of my mouth, because it has to do with realms of society that I don't go around. I mean, things that happen in musicians' lives that I've never even heard the songs that they sing, but I read some news and sort of that trivial information finds its way into my life. And they say, "Where did you hear that?" Well, I want you to know that God has used some pretty powerful people to touch America long before we were here and long after we're gone, should the Lord tarry. And today, as we're concluding this concept, this sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, if it's touched a nerve, I don't want you to ignore that. I don't want you to say, well, let's cut this off because this is making me uncomfortable. In America now, we don't like anything to make us uncomfortable. And so there's discussions that people have that are of different philosophical bends. And we say, well, wait a minute, we can't have that discussion. You can't do that because it makes me uncomfortable. I used to work in retail industry, and there were people who say, well, you can't listen to Christian music because it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not a Christian. And you know, in all actuality, now then I was a man under authority, and so I was not able to make those decisions myself. But the reason for Christian music is not for Christian ears. The reason for Christian music is so that people that God wants to be Christians can hear things that will spur them to thinking. There's a song that I've heard that's written to a younger version of themselves. You know, that's a profound thing. What would you say to your younger self? But we're in such a comfort zone in our current society that we don't want anything to make us uncomfortable. I believe it was John Wesley who said, God has called me to preach, to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. You know, sometimes we just need a swift kick. Sometimes we need to say, you know what? There's a huge reality. A few years ago, we had a missionary who was in the Ukraine, and it described how radically things had changed in that society since Russia had invaded the Crimean Peninsula. And it showed the journey of a little girl who started off having a birthday celebration, actually looked like a young lady that we knew. And by the time her next birthday rolled around, the whole society had changed, and everything was so impacted by the war that it was just a shell of what it had been earlier. And this young lady, her next birthday was nothing like the celebration it had been the year before. Let's talk about the conclusion of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to take you back to Galatians chapter 5, and I will read all of it. Verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The reason that the Holy Spirit produces those fruits in us is because there's nothing in there that's verbal, that there's nothing in there that can be overcome by a law. I mean, you cannot mandate a law that says stop unconditionally loving people. It's just not going to work. You see, when you're driving down the road, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, I'm sure it has, when you're driving down the road and you're not really paying attention, all of a sudden you see a police car, and you know that that police car means that they are law enforcement. And all of a sudden you look down at your speedometer and this thought crosses your mind: what's the speed limit here in this area? The law is there as a boundary for man. It says this is where you are not, this is a line you are not supposed to cross. And if you do cross this line, there is a threat that is attached to that. And so it subjects men to itself. The law says you have to operate this way. Now, in this context, this is talking about the Torah, the law, the requirements that were normal for that society. And I look at it and I see that this is a different application, because it says there is no law that prevents these activities from taking place. There is no Caesar that can stop this from taking place. There is no judge, no president, no legislator that is going to be able to prevent the fruit of the Spirit from having the impact that it is designed to have. The law many times tells us what we cannot do. It says, don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this other thing, and don't do this over here. And there are many people in society that when you tell them, don't do something, part of that sin nature rises up and says, well, that's the very thing that I want to do. And so there are a lot of people up in arms that prayer has been banished from school. I'm old enough to remember praying in public school, that having that moment at the beginning part of the day where you said the Pledge of Allegiance, you said a prayer. I remember those times. Those were not traumatizing times. Those were much better days as far as education goes. Now we've tried to take out the morality and put in technology, and we're not seeing the results. Yes, we have kids who know how to do things technologically speaking, but do they have the moral foundation that is going to be able to sustain them through life? So I want to, just as we're wrapping up this application of the fruit of the Spirit here, I want to look at these one last time. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you realize that love songs are one of the largest genres of music that is out there? All we need is love, you know? All we need is love. And people are looking for that love that is unconditional. Today I want you to know something, that God is never going to love you more than he does right now, and he's never going to love you less than what he does right now. And as Christians, we are enabled and privileged to be able to have an abiding relationship with God that causes our selfish nature to be under constant attack, and this selfless nature of demonstrating unconditional love to others is something that God wants to manifest in our life. There's no law that says you cannot unconditionally love someone. Okay? There is no law that is going to outlaw you having joy in your life. Okay? I've told you that too many times Christians have the mindset of, don't you want to become a Christian so you can be just as miserable as I am? Well, you know what? The world has enough pain, enough suffering, enough misery. What it needs is people who go around with a supernatural joy that is a constant. Now, that doesn't mean that they've always got a smile on their face. Sometimes you can have joy in your life and be going through a tremendous amount of pain, but the joy comes in knowing that the pain is not going to last forever, but Jesus is. And peace. The world is trying to get to a place where there is no conflict, but the peace of God is something that is a wholeness, that is a soundness in body, soul, spirit, relationships, finances, and every area of your life. There is this transformative peace that says, no matter what is going on the outside, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that everything that I have committed unto him against that day is safe and sound, and I don't have to worry about it. And so it goes on in saying long-suffering, patient. There is no law that says you've got to be impatient with people. How many people do you know that say, you know, I really want you to pray for me. I'm just too patient with people. There are some. There are some people who are too patient with other people, but there's generally a good reason for it because of the background from which they've come from. Kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I am so thankful. You know, the Bible says that those who are not walking with God, that they think it's strange that we do not participate with them in the same destructive and painful behavior that they operate in. But what if we said, you know what? Anybody can break the law. I had a person told me that one time that said there are so many laws on the books that on any given day, every person probably violates at least three different ordinances or statutes or laws or regulations. The Bible says if you violated one, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's something that will cause you to think, guess what? There are no big sins and little sins. There's no, this is offensive, but I don't have that in my life, so that really bothers me. But this thing that I've got in my life that you don't have in my life, that shouldn't bother you at all. We need faithfulness. We need to be faithful men and women in the community. And so today, if you're going through, there's no law that is going to prevent you from being kind to the people around you. If you are like most workplaces, you've got some people that are phenomenal to be around, and then you've probably got some people who can be a bit challenging to be around. How about if I put it that way? Well, guess what? Anybody can be kind to someone who is kind. It takes a real outpouring of the Spirit of God and really just rising up within you to be kind to that person who is being anything but kind to you. And so we need that going on in our life. There is no law that is going to prevent you from being a good person. person. I knew this person one time, and they were given this comment. They are a good person. They are a good person. And then there were some other people that said, well, let's define good. Okay. So let me tell you what Jesus' definition of good was. Someone came up to me and said, good master. And Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. Why are you calling me good? He wasn't saying that he wasn't good. He said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. And so I want you to know that there is a difference between God's definition of goodness and people's definition of niceness. And so I want you, wouldn't it be great? And this is, I've never said this before. You know, this is going to go back to an old Campbell's commercial, but wouldn't you like to live your life in such a way that people, when they encounter you, that they go back to that old Campbell's commercial and they say, good. Not because of what they've tasted, but because of what they've got to experience, that there is a godly character that is operating inside of us that people are saying, now that is refreshing. That is refreshing. Gentleness, don't forget to be gentle. And, you know, like we said here with this last one, don't forget to exhibit self-control. Exhibit self-control with that person that is chewing your head off. Exhibit self-control. You know why? Because it's the last thing that they will expect. We live in such a retaliatory world where, you know, the law that says for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Well, let me tell you, as a believer, my reaction doesn't have to be ungodly. My reaction can be a spiritual reaction that the Holy Spirit will be able to utilize to minister to that person and saying, why did they do that? You know, I pray that all of us get to live our lives that at the end of the day, people are saying to you and to me, brethren, what must we do to be saved? You know what? In 2018, they're not going to use the word brethren. But wouldn't it be great if we lived our lives where the fruit of the Spirit was on such a daily demonstration that people say, how can I know Jesus the same way you do? God bless you. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.